This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
The Premier League is a Star Wars bar of characters, and amidst the dense, sprawling universe of Type A personalities, Jose Mourinho is undoubtedly the most polarising. A Machiavellian, cunning, attention-hungry to those who loathe him. A master man manager, a genius tactician, and a public relation manipulator par excellence to those who revere him. Few men catalyse such extreme feelings, courtesy of such limited ritualised bites. We hear him once a week in his pre-match conference, for 2 or 3 minutes after the final whistle when a microphone is theatrically shoved into his face, or at the post-match media debrief. All of it obsessed with the immediate, the short term, the game which has just been played, the player who has just been injured, the transfer target who wants away. For all we think we know, we never actually hear Mourinho's leadership philosophy in full-throated fashion. He rarely talks about the skills, values and leadership lessons he's learned in order to team build, evolve, thrive, excel, conquer and battle under the conditions of hysterical stress associated within the English Premier League. This July, I jumped at the chance to travel up to Montreal and spend the afternoon with Mourinho in the pre-season to make a film that debuts on NBCSN this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Here's a taste of my afternoon spent inside the mind of Jose Mourinho. Jose, every interview I read with you, you talk about your deep passion for football. I'm going to start with a very basic question. What do you love about football?
Competition is what I really like in my job. My job has different items, you know, the scouting, the choice, the buy, the sell, the training, the media, the psychological side. My job has a lot, but is the competition, the space that I must enjoy. I miss when I am in holidays, so I think is competition. So probably if it was not football, it would be another sport. If it was not another sport, would be also a competitive job, because there are obviously many competitive jobs in society. So I think I'm competitive.
You never ever like to talk about your philosophy. Every time you are asked, you always avoid it. But I read that when you arrive at a new club, one of the first things you do is write a letter, I guess an email now, to the players stating football is a collective endeavour. Every player must subsume his will to the team. As a manager, I will be fair, and if the players commit to my way of working, I'll dedicate my life to making them the best talent they can be. Is that as close as one can get to describing the essence of your philosophy, Jose?
Well, philosophy is quite simple, which is nobody is more important than the team. I give you a clear example. Sometimes I read, I listen. A player that played the last 2 minutes of the game. Oh, the manager, this is a lack of respect. The manager shouldn't play this player for 2 minutes. When a manager brings a player for the game for the last 2 minutes, is a lack of respect. If the team needs the game to be stopped because the team is under pressure and the opponent is almost reaching a goal to equalize or to win, if the best thing for the team is to stop the game, to cut the intensity of the opponent and to bring somebody in the last minute, even if he doesn't touch the ball, this is not a lack of respect. This is him and the manager to have enough trust and empathy to understand that this is a job. This helps the team to reach an objective.
You are a very pragmatic man. I mean, when you were hired, a lot of paper talk about how Roman Abramovich wanted attacking flair football. The style you fostered, it is more pragmatic, reactive,
You often like to negate opponent's strengths. 3 points is what's most important to you. Is winning the most important thing in football?
I think we all agree that, especially in the last 10 years, Spanish football was the top football in maybe in the world of football. Do you know the record of goals in the history of Spanish football? 126 goals. Real Madrid in 2010. Who was the manager? Me. Defensive. But defensive in the eyes of some people. But I have the record of the team with more goals in the history of Spanish football. In England, the team with more points in the history of football in England is my Chelsea in 2005-06. A defensive Chelsea is the team with more points ever.
You get a stigma of anti-football. People talk about winning ugly. A lot of journalists, a lot of fans accuse you of that. Is that disrespectful of your accomplishments?
I think it's just don't understand the game really well. Don't understand what is behind my thinking. Don't know, because they don't know the work we do during the season with the players. But really, I'm not worried about it.
Talk about the work you do with the players, your man management. I mean, the players are complex, they're selfish human beings, they're driven by egos, dreams, needs, fears, Twitter accounts, bank accounts. What's the secret to successful relationship management?
I just try to make things simple. Try to not complicate things in the relationship. I think that the players, they have to understand exactly that. The team is the most important thing, and they can be top players, top egos, rich guys with lots of titles, but the team is always more important than them. And I have to prove them this, and I have to prove every day, and I have to prove with the big guys, not with the small guys, because I know lots of managers that they show their power, they show their control, but they show with the Mickey Mouses in the squad. They don't show it with the big guys. I give you an example. My boss always leave at the time. We agree that the team, the boss has to go. So let's say tomorrow morning we leave at 9 o'clock. If a player is not there, the boss goes to the training session, and the player must go or walking or running or get a cab, but the team doesn't wait for anyone. If I do that with young Solanke or young Aina, I have to do this with John Terry or with Ivanovic. If he's late, the bus goes and the team doesn't wait for the big guy. As you say, means nothing for their bank account to pay £1,000 because they are late. What means is that the bus leaves, and he has to find a way to get to the training session. I think just simple objective rules. They learn how to live with this honest way of living, and the relations are good at a certain point, because there is always a point where you are right. The players, they are selfish and they want to play, and it's difficult to keep 25 guys happy when the game is just about 11, and every game 14 of them, they don't start the game, and this always hurt the players.
Yeah, so when you play that through, how do you handle that? Because players are inherently selfish, especially the big players,
genius. I know, I tell them that one day maybe they will realize how difficult my job is when they become managers. And now it's happening a lot with me, because my first generation of players, now they are in the 40s, and I have lots of them that are managers now. And when we are in contact, they say to me all the time, you are right, the job is not easy. And sometimes I feel hurt in myself. Sometimes I decide things, I have to make decisions that I feel hurted. Sometimes a player is working amazingly well and is not selected. Last year I had Courtois, for me, the best goalkeeper in the world, Peter Cech, the goalkeeper that gave everything to Chelsea for 10 years, and every game I had to decide one to play, another one to play. Peter, amazing, going on the bench, reaching the cup final. I want to give Peter a last cup final for Chelsea and leave Courtois on the bench when Courtois played the semi-finals against Liverpool, and it was amazing. Sometimes, you know, I try to be cold blood and hard and be just professional, but it's impossible. I also have feelings.
You've called your squad a family. I mean, talking about your feelings, I always wonder, are you the dad in the family? Are you the mum? Are you the brother? Are you the friend? Or are you always just the alpha male?
I'm just one of them. I'm just one of them. That's the way I like to feel. That's the way I like them to feel. No, and to be one of them for me means that sometimes we have to disagree. Sometimes we have to be upset with each other. Sometimes I have to criticize them. Sometimes they don't do it in my face, but probably they criticize me in my back too. I think sometimes disagree means a new start.
I mean, you go after personalities in the transfer market. Everyone's going after personalities. Barca, Real Madrid, United, City. Everyone wants to sign somewhat the same players. What do you tell a player when you're courting them? What's your unique value proposition that you offer them to join you at Chelsea? It
depends on the player and depends of what I think he needs for his career. Depends. But basically, I speak about my club, what the club is, what he can expect from the club, what the club can give him. I speak about the squad. I speak about his place in the squad. What I expect from him, what I can give him as a manager. I try always to be very honest with the players. And the only ones that run away from us are the ones that want to listen, that you play for sure. And I never say that. So if some player is waiting for me to say, come here because here you are going to play for sure, is something that I never say because I can't say that.
I'm going to talk about losing for a second.
Yeah.
For a man so free of doubt, when you do lose, how do you process it? How do you understand it?
You know, there is lose and lose. Is lose when the opponent is better than you. And when the opponent is better than you, you have to find why. You have to find why. I don't accept just to lose and don't understand why the opponent was better than us. And if it takes one day or 2 days or 3 days or four or five, doesn't matter. I need to know. I need to speak with the players. I need to speak with the assistants. I need to speak with myself. I need to watch video once, twice, three times, doesn't matter what. I need to understand why. But always in this perspective of I don't accept the defeat. Never in the perspective of this is a drama, this is the end of the world. No, I always like to understand why. And when I understand why, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it. And what comes after the defeat normally is a great motivation to work, and is a great motivation to have another match, and is a great motivation to have another training session to try to work the things where we were not good enough. And I accept this kind of defeat in this good perspective. When the defeat comes because we were simply bad in our attitude, in our approach, we were not competitive enough, this is the thing that hurts, and this is the thing that I don't forgive. Sometimes I don't forgive the players, sometimes I don't forgive myself. If I feel that I was the one that transmit the players that mentality that was not the right one. So I prefer to lose when the opponent was better than me. And when I understand why the opponent was better than me, I prefer that.
The British media, they love talking about Jose Mourinho's rants. They love it when you talk about conspiracies, about refereeing decisions, about penalties not given. They talk about an arrogance. But I've got a feeling that every rant you do is calculated. It's all intentional.
Oh.
But when the final whistle blows, you have a minute to come up with your post-match comments. I mean, they're brilliant. You're like the John Stewart of kind of throwing barbs. You're amazingly quick. Your language is phenomenal. It's like a branding agency.
But it's natural. It's natural.
What is your process, Jose? Give us some insight. Where the horses, eggs, melons. I mean, an award-winning advertising company couldn't come up. Minute 30, minute 33, minute 43. Specialist in failure. Where do these terms come from, Jose?
I don't know, really.
Do you think about them before you go in there? Or do they just emerge?
No, the press conference before a game, you have time, you have your people specialized on that. I try to go well prepared. I try to anticipate with my people the themes of the press conference. What is the actuality? What are the problems? Yes, I try to go prepared. But after the game, no. After the game is just the game. The game is unpredictable. The questions are unpredictable, and the press conference gives you a little bit more time to relax and to cool down. But the flash interview is hard.
When you won your first title with Chelsea, 2005, you said, we won it because of an explosion of motivation. You said the players wanted to prove they were the best in England. You wanted to prove that you could win titles outside of Portugal. What's your explosion of motivation now? You've won everywhere. You've won the league. What's your explosion of motivation?
The explosion of motivation is that the expectations are very, very high. I always say that I'm guilty of it. The expectation is very high. Doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter which club I am, doesn't matter if my team has conditions to win it or not to win it. The expectation is very, very high.
Liverpool built a dynasty in the 70s. United built a dynasty in the 90s. Do you think about taking this Chelsea, you say my Chelsea, you say I want to stay here for 12 years, I want to build a winning culture here.
I won't.
Is that possible,
Jose? I won't, but the domination I don't think is possible. I don't think it's possible. In the modern game in England, I don't think it's possible. It was possible before, it's not possible now. The economical power is huge. The new owners in many different clubs is fantastic. The conditions that the Premier League gives to every team to be economical powerful is amazing. You know, you have teams that playing for not to be relegated, buying players for 15, 20 million. You go to Portugal, you go to Spain, you go to Italy, the teams that spend this money are the teams that play to be champions. And you go to English football now, and every team, Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Stoke City, Aston Villa, every team can buy. That's why every game is competitive, every team is good. So I think England is fantastic.
You've also never stayed at a team for more than 4 years. Is that something that you now want to do? Is it something you can do, Jose?
Yes, I want. I want. I can. I had my ambitions of coaching in different countries. I want to do it. When I won England and Italy, I wanted to be the only one to win also in Spain and to do what we call the Grand Slam of titles in European football. So I wanted to go to Spain. After that, England, Spain, and Italy, I did it all. Was about go to the place where I like more, I enjoy more, and that's
America, Jose. America, MLS has got to be part of that Grand Slam in about 10 years' time, God willing.
I know. Why not? Why not? I think when I start coming here in 2004, which was my first preseason in the States, I felt immediately that. I felt that we cannot compete. We cannot compete with the other sports in the US to be the sport king like we are all around the world. We can't. is impossible to do it, and we have to accept that. But I think we, the managers and the players in the top European football, we owe to the people that love soccer in this country, we owe something. And I think in many ways we can do something. Come in preseason, play with the best players, play against American teams, be in this kind of tournament, but always playing against Galaxy, now Red Bull, New York, always. This interaction, I think, is very, very important. And for people in the last part of their career to come and to make a certain impact, I think, is also fundamental. I think David made a fantastic job here. And now Kaká is a wonderful guy. He's a fantastic guy, a part of a fantastic player. So Frank Lampard, David Villa, I think, can only improve.
What do you want your legacy to be? I know you'll tell me you don't think about that. That's for others to determine. But every man in your position, they do. You think about your place in history. You think about where you're going to be. How will you be remembered? How do you want to be remembered?
I don't think about it. First of all, because I want to work 20 more years. And secondly, because what makes history is... It's victories. In the end of the day, everybody focused on that. So I know exactly the number. I don't forget. I was champion 8 times. I won 3 European competitions. I won 22 major titles. I know the numbers. I don't forget the numbers. But if in 10 years' time I'm still on 8 titles and 3 European competitions and 22 titles, I'm not happy. So I want to win more.
That was just a taste of my time with Jose Mourinho. For the full interview, tune into NBCSN this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.